Well, like I said, one of the great preachers of the last century, a man by the name of Vance Havner, said, revival is falling in love with Jesus all over again. Any Christian, if you ask, would say they love Jesus, right?
Amen.
Amen. Even a lot of non-Christians will say, I love Jesus. But the truth of the matter is, sometimes our love of something or someone is really nothing more than words. And so every now and then, I think we need to kind of step back and do a little examination, self-examination, especially when it comes to loving our Lord. And so what I want to do this morning is talk about loving Jesus. You guys are on it. We're going to talk this morning about loving Jesus. And in doing so, I hope to do several things. First of all, I would hope to prove that you do indeed love Jesus. Secondly, I would like to challenge you to love Jesus more today than you did yesterday. And thirdly, hopefully I will bring about a renewal in your heart to love Jesus all over again, if you've left that first love. Just how important is it that we love God? Well, let's think about this. Just prior to the Israelites getting ready to enter their promised land, Moses was giving them some instructions to follow. And the first one he gave them was this. And I know you're going to know this. It's Deuteronomy 6:5 if you want to write that down. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. In the Gospel of Mark, when Jesus was asked of all the commandments, which is the most important? Jesus responded and he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first and the greatest command. Now, you can break down each one of those human aspects, the heart, mind, and soul, and strength. But the overall thing Jesus is trying to say here is, love God with all that you are. Love God with your whole being. And so I think that loving God must be pretty important. There is nothing in all of Scripture that says having a casual love for Jesus is acceptable. If Jesus said that loving God is the first and the greatest commandment, then according to Jesus, it is to be the most important thing we ever do in our life. Now, again, all Christians would say they do love Jesus. But if you were to ask them if they love Jesus with all of their heart, all of their mind, all of their soul, all of their strength, I think most of us would probably say, well, no, I don't love them that much, but I try to. Folks, no one has ever continuously loved God with their whole being all the time. As a matter of fact, on this side of eternity, no one will ever love God with all of their whole being in a non-stop, uninterrupted way. Let me explain why I say that. Our understanding of love is all screwed up. Our understanding of love is all screwed up. You and I have a blemished, contaminated, and corrupted kind of love. None of us have ever loved the way we should. None of us have ever had a pure love for anything. Now think about it for a moment. The only love we've ever experienced from someone else, or our love towards someone else, has always been flawed. The only pure and perfect love we have ever experienced is from Jesus Christ. Amen? And the irony with that is, Scripture says that His love surpasses our knowledge. It's more than we can comprehend. When you get down to it, loving the way we should does not come easy to us. Which is why God has to repeatedly tell us in His Word to love. Why? because we have always lived in a blemished, contaminated, corrupted world. Our love for someone is determined by our feelings. It's determined by our emotions. We might love someone today, but tomorrow we can't stand them. In our early years, Vic used to tell me she'd love me, and next day tell me she hates me. Now it's every other day. Our love for others is determined by whether or not they fit our standards. People need to look a certain way. They have to have certain physical features. They need to dress a certain way and maybe act a certain way. They need to like or dislike the things that we like and dislike before a lot of times we'll ever consider loving them. They need to be a certain race or from a particular culture. Our love for others can be determined by the things they do or they don't do. Do they like to do the things I like to do? Do they see things the way I see things? Living in a me world where everything is about ourselves, sometimes we will only love people if we feel that we can benefit from them. Many people choose who they will have relationships with based on what they can gain from the relationship. To put it in perspective, we have conditional love. Every one of us has conditional love. It can come and go based on the standards we have set. Folks, our love comes with all kinds of ifs. If this, if that. But guess what? There are no ifs in God's commands to love. When God says to love your neighbor, even if it's Ben and Deb, when God says love your neighbor, He doesn't say if you feel like it. When Jesus says that Christians are to love one another, He didn't say if they're being nice to you or if they're being the Christian the way you think they should be. When God says to love your husband or love your wife back there, Vic, He doesn't add an if they're treating you right. And when Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, He did not ask any ifs to be added in there. Folks, when God says to love someone or to love Him, He never gives us permission to waver from that love under any circumstances. But thankfully, God being a good and gracious God, He knows that we have a blemished understanding of what love is. And so He is willing to work with us. And I'll talk more about that in a moment. But let me first define for you the type of love Jesus is talking about here when He says to love the Lord your God. First of all, our love for Jesus is to be an unrivaled love. Our love for Jesus is to be an unrivaled love. In Matthew 10:37, Jesus told a group, He said, anyone who loves his father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. He said, anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. In another one of Jesus' messages found in the Gospel of Luke, He took it to the extreme and He said this. He said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now that's a pretty radical statement. I mean, could you imagine you meet the person of your dreams and they say to you that you are to hate all of those that are closest to you before they will ever believe that you truly love them? You would tell them to get lost. Well, obviously, Jesus was not speaking literally here, because He speaks clearly in other areas of Scripture about the importance of loving others. And so what is He saying here? He is saying that in comparison, Our love for Him is to be unrivaled, incomparable. Our love relationship for Him is to be far beyond our love for any other earthly relationships that we have. He is to be the supreme love of our life. Jesus is to be the aim of our allegiance and our loyalty. Simply put, He does not want to compete for our love. Secondly, our love for Jesus is to be a manifested kind of love. Our love for Jesus is to be a manifested kind of love. In other words, our love for Jesus should be visible. Our love for God should be evident by our actions. It is far more than just mere words. We've heard the old saying that actions speak louder than words. There is a huge difference between those who verbally love Jesus and those who display their love for Jesus. There are husbands and wives who say, "I love you," every day. But as a fly on the wall, you would never know it. Outside of some words every now and then, you would never know there was any love between them. Their marriages are just plain old boring. And that is true with those who love the Lord, or their love for the Lord is nothing more than a verbal love. Their relationship with God is just blah. When I've counseled married couples over the years who have hit a point in their marriage where it's just monotonous and unexciting, I always encourage them to put action behind their words. And so our love for the Lord, our God, should produce some sort of ongoing, manifested evidence. Thirdly, our love for Jesus should be a motivational kind of love. Motivational kind of love. It should be an enthusiastic and passionate kind of love. One where we should just have a fire burning down in our hearts for our Savior. One where you just get excited at the mention of the name of Jesus. A person that has a motivational kind of love for their Lord, you can hear it in their voice when they're singing songs during worship. When they're clapping their hands and tapping their foot, or maybe they break out and got a little dance going on. Or they might shed some tears in the midst of a song. A person that is passionate in their love for the Lord, you'll be able to see it in their eyes. Because their eyes just kind of light up at the name of Jesus. Or they grieve when they know they've done something that was against the Lord's will. And so we're to have an unrivaled love for the Lord. We're to have a manifested kind of love for our God. And we are to have a motivational kind of love for our Lord. And finally, we're to have a sacrificial kind of love for Jesus. And this is a tough one for us sometimes because we live in a me world where the world says everything is about me. If there isn't anything in it for me, then I don't want anything to do with it. But a sacrificial kind of love is the kind of love that calls us to give of our time, our talent, our treasure for the sake of the one we love. It's the kind of love that focuses on how we can be a benefit to the Lord instead of how He can be a benefit to us. Many of the gospels out there preached today is a gospel of what God can do for you. We never hear what we can do for God. He's already done everything He needs to do. He supplied that sacrifice and paid the price for us. A sacrificial love for Jesus is when we are willing to lay aside our agenda for the sake of carrying out His agenda. It's the kind of love where we are more concerned with making Jesus look good than we are being concerned about making ourselves look good. And so our love for God is to be an unrivaled, manifested, motivational, and sacrificial kind of love. Now, believe it or not, but all four of those are found in God's love for you and me. God's love for us is unrivaled. Out of all the things God created, His love for the human race far surpasses that of His love for His angels, the animal kingdom, or the plant kingdom. Out of everything he created, we are described as being more of value than any of his other creatures. We're the only ones out of everything that he created that says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We're the only things made in his image and his likeness. God's love for us is motivational. He is described as getting excited over us at times when we choose to live righteous lives. Many times in Scripture, God is seen enthusiastically bragging on his children. And he is also described as weeping and being brokenhearted when we choose to do the wrong things. How we live, the things we do, motivates God to express himself through emotions. God's love for us is manifested. He demonstrates his love through meeting our needs and through blessings. He demonstrates his love for us through his word and through his creation. He shows us his love by granting us salvation. And a couple that we don't normally think of is, God shows us his love by correcting and disciplining us. And God demonstrates his love through trials. And then God's love for us is sacrificial. And even though the Bible is filled with verses and examples telling us that, the most popular one is John 3:16. God so loved the world he gave. If God's love was not sacrificial, we would never have any hope of ever being saved. Now, back to us loving Jesus. He said that we are to love our Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Folks, when you get down to it, that's a pretty big command. That's huge. And so I want to talk about how we can do that for a moment. Two times in the fourth chapter of 1 John, we are told that God is love. Now, that doesn't say God loves. It says God is love. And there's a big difference between the two. To say God loves is to say that loving is something God does. And that is true. God does love. But to say God is love is to say that love is what God is. God love talks about something God does. God is love is talking about something God is. Love is God's nature. It's his disposition. It's his personality. If you could remove love from God, he would no longer be God. Because love is who he is. If you were able to cut God up into a million pieces, every piece you have would have love in it. Because there is no part of God where love is not. Now guess what? When God created us, it says he made us in his image and his likeness. And part of God's image is what? Love. And so when God created us, he created us to be creatures of love. Inside the heart of every human being, it's ever walked the face of this earth, is a desire to love others and a desire to be loved by others. But the problem is, as I said earlier, our perception or our perspective of love has been corrupted and polluted as a result of living in a blemished world. And that is one reason why it is so important that we use caution on the types of entertainment we choose, because if we allow Hollywood or the media or whatever the entertainment industry decides to define love as, we will begin to absorb that and think that is love. It's a distorted kind of love. It's important that we protect our hearts from the things that might hinder pure love for our Lord. The only place you will ever learn to love the way we were created to love is from the Creator himself. And here's the beauty of all this. When a person becomes a Christian, God takes his love, puts it in that person's heart, so that they have the potential to love the way Jesus loved. We're told in Romans 5:5 that as Christians, God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. Folks, when we give our lives to the Lord, when a person gives their life to the Lord, He infuses in us His pure, unadulterated love through His Holy Spirit, therefore enabling us to love God as we should. And what happens is this. As we learn to love God as we should, we will then learn to love God's church as we should. We will then learn to love those in the church and outside the church as we should. And we will begin to learn to love the things God loves and hate the things God hates. And that is one reason why Jesus said that loving God wholeheartedly is the first and greatest commandment. When we learn to love God the way we should, we will learn to love everyone and everything else as we should. Folks, the more we love God the way we should, the more we will do the things we should. Because our love for God will flow out into all the areas, other areas of our lives. Is it possible for us to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength? Sure. Will it ever happen? No. Not on this side of eternity. In the life we live now, there are just too many things that compete for our love. But in heaven, there won't be anything competing for our love. Because God will be the premier object of all of our love. Also, on this side of eternity, we will never come to love the Lord with our whole being, because since the Garden of Eden 6,000 years ago, love itself has been tempted, it's been twisted, it's been perverted, it's been distorted, and so on, to the point that we have a hard time of grasping the originality of love. Think about it. Love in the human race has been distorted, twisted, and perverted for 6,000 years since the Garden of Eden. And we're just now getting a walk in that. And so there's no way we're going to fix that in 10 or 20 years. But here's the good news. When Jesus said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, it was more than just a commandment. It was also a goal. It's also a goal. Loving Jesus with all we got should be something we strive for. If you're indeed a Christian, all the love you will ever need resides inside of you in the person of the Holy Spirit. And that is good news, because to have the kind of love we are called to have will require some supernatural help, because it's the kind of love that is contrary to our old sin nature. And so how do we grow in our love for God? First and foremost, get to know Him a little better. Spend time in His love letter to you called the Bible. Get to know His characteristics. Learn about the things He loves and the things He hates. Believe it or not, there's no way you can get to know God better and not fall in love with Him more. Spend time talking with Him throughout the day in prayer. And in your prayer time, ask God to show you how to grow in your love for Him. Secondly, think backwards. Meditate on the things you already know about Him. Think back over the things He's already done for you. We can also grow in our love for Jesus by thinking forward. Meditate on the things ahead. Think about the heaven He has awaiting you. Think about when He competes or completes your salvation by taking you out of this evil and wicked world and brings you into His holy and sinless heaven. You can also grow in your love for God by spending time with people who will pour out God's love on you. Being around people who manifest the love of God in you will become contagious. Another way to grow in your love for God is to make it a habit to talk about Him with other people. We can grow in our love for God by simply obeying and serving Him. Knowing that we are pleasing the one we love will cause us to want to please Him even more. And finally, falling in love with God begins by letting God love you first. People don't realize that when they reject God, they also are rejecting God's love for them. One reason so many people are not Christians or reject Christianity is because they think that Christianity is a religion filled with a bunch of do's and don'ts. They fail to understand that Christianity is all about having a love relationship with Jesus Christ. See, that's one of the differences between Christianity and all the other religions. Christianity is the only so-called religion that is all about loving God and God loving us. As to where all the other religions is about trying to do things so that you might gain favor with God and get on His good side. Folks, I can assure you that if a person's love for Jesus is not growing, they will be a very dry, dull, and ineffective Christian. I find it quite interesting that out of the 613 commandments found in the Old Testament, as well as all the other ones added in the New Testament, Jesus said, "The one that is more important than any of them is that you and I love the Lord with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength." He knows that we will value and honor and serve the one we love most. All of us get warm fuzzies in our hearts when we think about the love of our spouse or our children, our grandchildren, or our parents, grandparents. But that isn't nothing compared to the feelings we will get when we finally live in heaven, where love will finally be pure and flawless. Folks, there'll be somebody coming out here in a minute to close us, but the altar, I want to let you know the altar's open. Whether it be that you want to give your life to Jesus this morning, or maybe you just want to come down and talk to God about your love for Him. Maybe you just say, "Lord, I want to learn to love You more. Show me how." There is no greater love than the love that God has already given us. So let me just ask, are you in love with the Lord today? Not just do your lips say it, but does your life show it?